surrounded by your love. I'm surrounded by your love. I'm surrounded by your love. I'm surrounded by your love. Lord, I thank you that we have not lived one unloved moment of our lives. You've loved us with an everlasting love, and you drew us by your love. And so even as we stand in your presence to worship you, to give honor and glory to you for all that you've done, Lord, fill us to overflowing with your love. We adore you, we honor you, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Why don't you turn and welcome each other this morning?
Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus People community of faith, hope, and love in San Clemente, California. For more information on service times and locations, visit calvarysanclemente.org. And now, let's join Pastor Holland at Calvary Chapel San Clemente.
Perfect. You can hear me? Awesome. Well, we're going to be in Hosea 12 tonight, today, and we're going to be ending our series through Hosea entitled God's Unfailing Love. And we're going to be looking at God's revealed love, how God reveals his love to us today. And so I'm going to turn your attention to Hosea 12, verse 9 and 10. Hosea 12, verse 9 and 10. It says, "But I am the Lord your God. Ever since the land of Egypt, I will again make you dwell in tents, as in the days of the appointed feast. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets." Now, the Bible teaches plainly that the very nature of God is love. God is love. In fact, in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." So there's no love apart from God. Love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The only way you can really love someone completely and totally is to be born again and to know God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's one of the reasons why we tell our young folks, don't be unequally yoked, because that person will never really be able to love you. Not the way that God designed us to be loved. It's the nature of love. God is love. And everything God does is motivated by love. When Jesus healed the sick, the Bible says that he was moved by compassion. When Jesus came across a dead person being carried out of the town gate to be buried, the only son of a widow, and he saw the widow crying, his heart went out to her. It's what the scripture says. His heart was moved by her tears, and he raised her son from the dead. In Matthew, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So he was motivated by love because that is his nature. God is love. God is love. And when you love someone, you can't be quiet about it. You got to tell everyone about it. You have to tell them. And that brings us to the first of five principles that we're going to look at this morning. God's revealed love speaks first. God's revealed love speaks first. Notice here in verse 10, it says, I have also spoken. I have also spoken. You know, one of the things that continues to amaze me is that God speaks to man at all. You ever thought about that? The fact that God would speak to anybody or any of us is completely amazing to me. When you consider the vastness of the universe, I was just looking yesterday about something they discovered as one of the Voyagers have kind of exited our solar system and gone into outer space. There's actually around our solar system a protective, you know, barrier that when this Voyager, you know, satellite went through it, it passed through this protective barrier. And it entered into, you know, interstellar space. And so there was this, you know, radiation kind of, and that they can measure this wall of radiation that protects us from outside space. I mean, think about the love of God that not only did he put us on this planet, not only did he create the universe, but he created this protective sphere that surrounds our entire solar system, that protects us from the Milky Way galaxy. I thought that was amazing. When you look at the awesome magnitude of creation, the billions of galaxies, and then you realize the God who created and sustains everything takes the time to speak to you and I personally. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. David felt the same wonder when he said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And yet, not only is God mindful of man, but God wants to speak to man. And he doesn't wait for man to seek him before he speaks. He says to Hosea, I have spoken. I took the initiative. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Jeremiah, before you were even born, I loved you. Before you even came into existence, I loved you. And my love for you is everlasting. It doesn't stop. It keeps going. And so it's with loving kindness that I consistently, continually draw you to myself. John tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And one of the ways that God demonstrates his love to us is by speaking to us. By speaking to us. You know, when you stop speaking to someone, when you stop responding to them, it's a sign of indifference, of not caring, of not loving. Or you're over 60 and you just can't hear each other anymore. We've been experiencing a little bit of that lately. You know, we're talking to each other and then we realize, oh, we've been talking to each other, you know. God always initiates because love always initiates. Love responds, and God wants you to understand his love for him, for you. That's why God speaks to us in a variety of ways. In Hebrews 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Variety of ways, variety of times. And so we're going to look at today three ways that God has spoken to us out of Hosea. And he mentions three things. He's spoken to us through his prophets, the word, which is the word of God. He's spoken to us through multiplied visions, which is supernatural speaking. And he's spoken to us through symbols, examples from Scripture, examples of people's lives that we can look at through the Word of God. And so the first thing, God's revealed love comes through his Word. Notice here in verse 10, it says, I've spoken by the prophets. I've spoken by the prophets. God spoke clearly through his Word, but Israel didn't listen. It wasn't for lack of God speaking. It came down to they didn't want to hear. You know, one of the greatest mistakes people make is to believe that God's will is hard to know. I mean, how many people have you heard say that? Well, what is God's will for my life? I don't know what it is. It's hard for me to figure it out. I hear it often. I don't know what God's will for my life is. The truth is, God's will is easy to know, but it's hard to accept. It's easy to know, but it's hard to accept. God goes to great lengths to make his will known to us through his word. In Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, he has made known his ways to Moses, and he acts to the children of his and his acts to the children of Israel. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Moses got to know the ways of God. He drew near to God. He spent time with God. The children of Israel just saw his actions, what he did. They could have done what Moses did and drawn near to God. There was the tent of meeting. It was available to everyone. It was sitting just outside the camp. And anybody who wanted to could go into the tent of meeting and meet with God. But the children of Israel didn't want to do that. But Moses went every day. It says that Joshua, the son of Nun, never left the tent of meeting. He stayed in there the whole time. You see, he didn't have any family because he was the son of Nun. That was a bad joke. He had a lot of spare time on his hands. But it was available to everyone. And just like you and I, it's available to all of us at any time to know God, to spend time with him in prayer, to spend time with him in his word. But people don't want to do that. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And so the prophets were declaring God's word to the people. They weren't expressing their opinions. They were declaring God's word. They were men who stood before God and the people, and they said, thus says the Lord. Now, you can't say that unless the Lord grants you what to say. Otherwise, we saw examples in Scripture where people said, thus says the Lord, and the Lord says, I didn't say that. Because God is love, God speaks before he acts. And I found this to be an interesting observation when before God gave the Ten Commandments, he reminded them of how he delivered them out of Egypt. In Exodus 20, verse 2, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Before he gave the Ten Commandments, this is what he said. Because God wanted them to know his love before he gave them his law. You know, so often we go right to law, right? Someone comes to Christ, oh, well, here, let me tell you the rules of following Jesus. But Paul says that we need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. Rooted and grounded in his love for us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know his nature, that he is love, so that when he acts, we understand why he acts. And today we're blessed. We have both the Old and the New Testament. We have lots of opportunities given to us in this library of books. It's not a single book. It's a library of 66 books called the Bible. It's all God's word to you, what God is speaking to you. In Paul's day, they had the Old Testament only. Those were the scriptures that he encouraged Timothy to study, the Old Testament. You know, think about that for a moment. there's a lot of churches that ignore the Old Testament because they say we're not Old Testament churches, we're New Testament churches. You know, the church began in the New Testament after the book of Acts. And the Old Testament doesn't apply. And yet Paul, when he's exhorting Timothy to study God's word, he's not talking about the New Testament. They had no New Testament. He wasn't saying, hey, Timothy, read my letters. He wasn't saying, hey, Timothy, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John all wrote bestsellers. You should get a hold of them. He's talking about the law and the prophets. So everything we get in the New Testament about Jesus, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of salvation, redemption, holiness, everything comes from the Old Testament. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So notice here it says that all scripture is profitable. Even the hard parts to read, that is essential, profitable for instruction. They're all expressions of God's love to us. And so when someone asks me, I want to know how to hear God's voice, would you pray for me? The first question I ask them is, are you reading God's word? Are you in God's word? God's word is God speaking to you. It's his prophetic word. Every word is to be taken personally. Now there are churches that say, well, you know, there's these churches, they worship the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. They don't, you know, they elevate the word of God over the you know, prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I just say that's an ignorant statement. Because the Bible is God's prophetic word to us. To neglect God's word is to neglect your relationship with God. To receive God's word is to receive God's love for you. And the reason Israel placed themselves under judgment is not because of ignorance. It wasn't because they didn't know. They just didn't accept what God said. God said, this is how I want you to live. And they said, we want to do what we want to do. And so Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And so if you want to know God's will for your life, read his word. If you want to know God's heart, read what he's already revealed. God gave his word to us not to control us, but to reveal his love to us. The second thing is that God's revealed love comes through multiplied visions. Notice here, it says that God has multiplied visions. God is revealing something very important about his love. And when he wants us to know something extremely important, he doesn't give up. Love doesn't give up. Love is persistent. God will speak supernaturally. Now, that's what a vision is. A vision is a supernatural form of communication. And often visions will come to us while we're sleeping or when we're in times of prayer. And the Bible will refer to these as night visions. Maybe you've seen that in the scripture where it talks about he had a night vision, a vision at night while he was sleeping. And notice here it says there's going to be multiplied visions. You know, oh, let me back up a little bit. The difference between a vision and a dream, because, you know, it's like if you have a night vision, isn't that a dream? Well, the difference between a vision and a dream is that a vision is literal. It's very literal. Whereas a dream is symbolic, you know, has symbolism. There's been things that I've dreamed, or I realized now it was a night vision, where I have experienced a whole scenario of things, walked through a scenario, and then a few months later, I'll find myself walking through that very same scenario, and God has already pre-warned me, pre-instructed me what to do. And as I'm going through it, I'm thinking, oh, I've been here before. Have you ever had that feeling? Like, well, I've been here before. Well, that's probably because God has warned you. I have these dreams. I don't know what they mean. You know, they were symbolic, and God gave to Joseph the interpretation of those dreams. And so dreams require interpretations, whereas visions are very literal. So what is God implying by saying that he speaks in multiplied visions? The implication here is that you've ignored his word. You're not listening to him. He's made it plain in his word. You're ignoring him, so now he's upping the game. He's going to speak to you supernaturally. And notice it says there are multiplied visions, meaning God is going to increase the number of visions you receive. Now, the purpose of these visions is to warn the people of what's coming and to call them to return to the Lord. And so God is telling them what is going to happen. You know, I often tease my wife because she's the one that gets dreams, and she has a book she writes all her dreams in. And I say, well, the reason why God gives you dreams is because he can't talk to you during the day. You're talking too much. And so he gives you visions and dreams at night, so because that's the only time he can get a word in. And by the way, guys, don't ever say that to your wife. Never happens. Whatever happens afterwards, never good. But Ezekiel 12, 24 says, "For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel, for I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will be no more postponed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God." And so when God is speaking to you in these ways, it's not a prediction of the future. He's telling you what he's going to do. He's telling you what he himself is going to accomplish. In this case, Ezekiel is warning Judah of the coming attack from Babylon. The false prophets in Judah are telling the people it's going to be okay. God's on your side. Look, we have this beautiful temple. You know, don't listen to Jeremiah. You know, he's just a downer of a guy. You know, he's telling us Babylon is going to attack. Babylon's not going to attack us. Only Jeremiah and Ezekiel are giving them multiplied warnings, multiplied visions, calling them to return to the Lord. But the people aren't listening to them because they're listening to these false prophets. You can understand why God hates false prophets, because they give the people a false sense of security. The same thing with false teachers. God doesn't like false teachers because they give the people a false sense of security, trusting in something other than God. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And so God will send multiplied visions to get people's attentions because simple instruction is being ignored. You know, Ezekiel says, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants the wicked to turn from his way and live. So if God is speaking to you in multiple ways, pay attention, because God is revealing his love to you. It's always interesting to me when the Lord will prompt me to share something with someone, and they'll say, oh, you're like the third person that's told me that. Well, obviously God is trying to tell you something, because you're not listening to the ordinary ways that he communicates to us through his word. And lastly, God's love is revealed through symbols and examples. Notice here in verse 10, it says, I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. You know, when you ignore God's word, when you ignore supernatural visions and dreams, God will then send you real life examples to show you what he wants. You know, Jeremiah was told to take a linen sash and to hide it by the Euphrates until it was ruined, and it became a symbol of Judah and their pride. And then he was told to take the sash out and wear it in order to offend the pride of Judah. Ezekiel was told to lay on one side for hundreds of days and then turn to the other side as a symbol of the judgment coming to Jerusalem. I mean, imagine you're walking downtown on Del Mar in San Clemente. Here's a guy laying on his side. Like, what are you doing down there? God told me to do this. He told me judgment's coming. And you'd say, well, I'm calling the police on you. Judgment's coming. It would get your attention, wouldn't it? You would think all day about that. What in the world was that guy doing? Hosea's marriage was a symbol to Israel of their unfaithfulness. He was commanded to marry a woman who would be unfaithful, and when she got herself in trouble, he was told to rescue her and treat her as if she did no wrong, as a symbol of God's love towards Israel. Imagine that. Could you have done that if you were Hosea? To take your wife back and to treat her as if she did no wrong. In Hosea 12, he uses the story of Jacob. He reminds them of how Jacob struggled with his brother in the womb. And he struggled with God and struggled with the angel. But it wasn't until he wept and sought God to give him favor that he prevailed. He overcame the struggle in his life. It wasn't that he overcame the angel and, you know, he overcame the Lord and prevailed. It was that he overcame the struggle. And what was the struggle? His rebellious nature. He overcame it when he cried out to the Lord. Hosea 12:4 says, Jacob found God in Bethel, and it was there that God spoke. And so what's the message in Hosea 12:6? He says, so you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your Lord continually. The reason why God speaks and speaks often into our lives is because God's revealed love seeks restoration, not punishment. He's trying to keep us from something that is going to hurt us in the long run. In Hosea 11, God says to Israel, I remember when you were a child. I loved you. I saved you. I called you my son. I taught Ephraim how to walk, holding up his arms. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. I took the burden off your neck. I stooped down and fed you. In Hosea 12:9, God says, I am the Lord your God ever since Egypt. I'm the same God that brought you through the wilderness into the promised land. I'm the same God who defeated your enemies as you conquered the land. I'm the same God who established and protected and cared for you. I'm the same God who visited you at Mount Sinai and gave you my word. I'm the same God who filled the temple with my glory. You know, God has revealed his love to us. He's spoken to us through his word. He's spoken supernaturally to us. He's spoken through symbols, examples from the Bible. God has never been silent. And if his voice isn't being heard, it's not because he's not speaking. It's because people aren't listening. God's love calls to us. And the question is, will we respond? Will we respond to him? In Psalm 143, it says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. This is a prayer I start every day with. Lord, I want to know your heart for me. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you speaking. Cause me to hear. I want to hear your loving kindness every morning. I want to bring it to you every day with surrender. You know, God is speaking to our hearts because he loves us. And he wants us to know him. And it's really up to you how you're going to respond to his love. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. Every day, begin by responding to his love. Every day, begin by surrendering that day to the Lord. And being open to however he might lead you and guide you in that day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word to us. And Lord, I do want to begin that day, every day with you. That Lord, that in the morning, David says, I sought you in the morning and you heard my cry. Lord, that you would every day reveal your great love to us. And even now, Lord, in the confusion, there are some that might be experiencing that confusion of what's happening in their lives. Lord, you are the one who knows. But perhaps, Lord, they're not listening because they're not willing to accept what you have to say. And so even that, we want to surrender to you. We want to listen to your voice. If you want to pray that prayer of surrender, to lift up your soul to the Lord, you can pray this simple prayer and mean it with all your heart. And say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I accept what you have to say. I receive what you have to say, Lord. And I know whatever you're doing, it's motivated by love. For me. Forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me the power to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
His mercies never. Lord, thank you for your faithful love to us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you do speak to us. Give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. If you like prayer this morning, our pastors will be here to pray with you. Other than that, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and may he give you peace. And may he show himself strong on your behalf. And may you hear his voice as you read his word, as you spend time in his presence, as you spend time worshiping him and spend time in prayer. And may the Lord bless you and those whom you love, and especially those whom nobody loves. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Thanks for coming out.
In today's program, we pray it was a blessing to you. Please visit CalvarySanClemente.org. Now may the Lord bless you and those whom you love, and especially those whom nobody loves.